and vibrate. We not ask for a pastor to come to the pulpit and deliver what the Lord has laid us on.
When I think about the Lord and what He's done for me, it makes me want to shout,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Thank you, choir. That was a song with a message. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We shout praises to you this morning. Because you're ever so loving, ever so gracious and kind. And we give you thanks this morning. And now, Lord, we come at this time to hear from you. And so, Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. Use even me, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Let love and forgiveness reign in your hearts. A few years ago, a young white man entered a church in South Carolina during their midweek Bible study. This was a predominantly black congregation, which nevertheless welcomed him with love and open arms. The young man sat and listened to the preacher for about an hour or so. And then the unthinkable happened. He pulled out a gun and fired several rounds, killing 9. Among the dead were several pastors, a librarian, a state senator, and most, if not all of them, were college graduates. They ranged in age from 26 to 87 years old. The media reported that the young man who did the shooting had a plan to start a race war. So he came with an agenda of evil and a heart of hate. However, what I found most interesting was the fact that the families of the deceased, although saddened by their loss and deeply hurt by the experience, were not consumed by anger, but each expressed their forgiveness for the one who had just murdered their loved one. This is not an easy thing to do, but speaks volumes to the level of their Christian maturity. The Bible says, love those who hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you. You can let hatred and bitterness reign in your life and bring you down. Or you can let love and forgiveness reign and lift you up. Let me say that again. You can let hatred and bitterness reign in your life and push you down. Or you can let love and forgiveness reign in your hearts and lift you up. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all about love and forgiveness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, Jesus gave his life for us so that all our sins may be forgiven, and that we may spend eternity in heaven. our sins once forgiven, are forgotten. Forgotten by God forever. You know, man has a hard time forgetting, but the Bible says that when we become a Christian, former things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. There was a man named Bob who had done some terrible things to his friend. And he said some unkind things about him as well. He became very ill and became concerned that he might die and have to face eternity with such bad feelings between them. So Bob, wanting to straighten things out, summoned his friend to his bedside, and very reluctantly and with great effort, he apologized for all the things he had said and done. Bob also assured his friend that he had forgiven him for all his offenses. And everything seemed fine at that point. But as the friend turned to leave the room, Bob called out after him, "Bob, remember, if I get well, that doesn't count." So often, we keep grudges and ill feelings against our friends and relatives and brothers and sisters in Christ, not realizing that refusing to forgive does more harm to us than it does to the one we should forgive. And refusing to forgive is refusing to be obedient to God. The Lord Jesus explains to us very clearly, as he taught his disciples to pray, that if we expect to be forgiven, we must first learn to forgive. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." By the same measure that we forgive, we will be forgiven. And verse 14 continues, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." My friends, you cannot say you're a child of God and harbor hatred, bitterness, and forgiveness in your heart. You cannot expect your prayers to be answered and your sins to be forgiven if there's someone you need to forgive. You should take care of your own faults before finding fault with someone else. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5 says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite," it says, "first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." You see, my friends, God cannot use a dirty vessel. For first you must repent of your sins and let him cleanse you so that you may be used effectively to influence others for him. We can begin by letting go of unforgiveness. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy to forgive. Sometimes the deed which was done to hurt us was so malicious and intentional, and I'm probably done with little or no remorse, that it is really difficult to forgive. Maybe someone accused you of something you are totally innocent of, and it really hurts. Nevertheless, if you are a child of God, You must be obedient to his word. And his word says in Matthew 5, verse 43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. My friends, that's not easy. But God offers his strength where ours is weak. If we have trouble with forgiveness, we must ask him to help us develop a forgiving heart. Jesus is our model. We follow his footsteps as we seek to live the Christian life in obedience to him. And he always sets the example for us. As he gave himself to be crucified for us. First he forgave those who crucified him. As he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Secondly, he forgave the thief on the cross beside him. As he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And thirdly, by his death, burial, and resurrection, we all have forgiveness of our sins available to us if we will only accept him as Lord and Savior of our lives. He humbled himself, the Bible says. He who is without sin took upon himself the sins of the whole world, that whosoever believeth may be forgiven. It's not easy. It's not easy to forgive someone, but we must as we walk in obedience to the Lord. You know, sometimes we let pride get in the way, but we must remember that the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6, that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And Matthew 23 tells us that whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humility is very important. And it's very important to receiving the Lord's blessing in your life. It is primarily what God requires of us. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Before we receive forgiveness, God requires humility and repentance. You know, humility is a paradox. Just about when we think we have it is when we've lost it. And there has never been a book written on how I achieved humility. God expects us to have an attitude of a servant. He expects us to forgive others before expecting forgiveness of him. In an article dealing with problems our youth face today, I read this line. If students could learn to forgive others from the heart, they would not resort to violence to even up the score. End of quote. So many of our problems today stem from selfishness and an unwillingness to forgive. The passage of scripture we read this morning gives us an excellent example of one who, although he received forgiveness, did not learn how to forgive. If you look at Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter asked the Lord if seven times was the acceptable number of times to forgive a brother who sinned against him. He thought he was being generous in offering to forgive someone seven times, as seven was the number of completeness. And it surpassed the rabbi's teaching of that day that one should forgive three times. As Jesus said unto Peter in verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What Christ is saying here is not that you should only forgive someone 490 times, and in the 491st time, you're free to hold a grudge against that person. He's not saying that at all. In fact, what Jesus is teaching us here is that our willingness to pardon and forgive should be endless. The Lord then emphasizes the point in a parable of the merciful servant. And this parable makes three very important points for us to remember. The first, in verses 23 to 27 of Matthew 18, reminds us of God's pardoning grace. It says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Just as that servant was forgiven his debt, we too, by God's grace, are forgiven our debt. Jesus Christ paid the debt for all our sins. Romans 3:23 explains that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is a holy God who cannot abide in sin. So when Adam and Eve sinned, we are all separated from a holy God. And we're all doomed spiritually. But Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, because of his love for us, provided a way of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. My friends, this is forgiveness that we do not deserve, but which is made freely available to us through the marvelous grace of God. The songwriter said it well. He said, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. The second part of the parable, verses 28 through 31 of Matthew 18, shows the self-centeredness and unreasonableness of man. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord, all unto their Lord, all that was done. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God expects us to measure out to others the act of forgiveness measured out to us. It is not for us to administer punishment to someone for his sins against you. Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God is a just God. Rest assured that he will take care of punishing those who need to be punished. For as a man soweth, so shall he also reap. In Psalm 37, David reminds us to fret not. Fret not thyself, he says, because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And then the third part of the parable, verses 33 through 35, warns of God's judgment upon those who refuse to forgive others. Verse 32 says, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise my heavenly Father do also. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. My friends, how much clearer can God make it for us to understand? If we are the children of God, we must walk in his footsteps. If God has forgiven us, we must forgive others. Furthermore, it is mandated by God that we should forgive others. If someone has wronged you, as difficult as it may seem, you must let it go. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Holding on to grudges imprisons us in bitterness and derails us from our growth in Christ. But a forgiving spirit is a sign of Christian maturity. Forgiveness gives us the freedom to grow and to build bridges to better relationships. Unforgiveness blows up those bridges that we must cross to obtain personal healing and maturity. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said these words, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. Strong words. God cannot use a dirty vessel. If you want to be used by God, he must first cleanse your soul after you come in repentance to him. Letting go of all unforgiveness and allowing God to use you to his glory. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. My friends, this is a serious matter. A serious matter before the Lord. Matthew 18, 34 and 35 say very emphatically that as the unmerciful servant was delivered to the tormentors, so likewise will your heavenly Father do to you if you refuse to forgive someone who has trespassed against you. Perhaps someone has hurt you deeply, maybe even for many years, and you have been harboring feelings of unforgiveness ever since. You might even have said many times that there is no way under the sun you will ever forgive them. But aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that regarding your sins? General Oglethorpe once said to John Wesley, one of the great preachers of yesteryear, "I never forgive and I never forget." To which John Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today to let go. Let go of unforgiveness. Let the wrongs that were done to you go. Let the hurtful things that were said about you go. Forgive and move on. You will not only glorify God by forgiving others, but you'll also experience a sense of relief. And you will be blessed for being obedient to what the Lord requires of you. A true Christian brother or sister will never deliberately do something to hurt or disrespect another. If they have done so unintentionally, they should not think themselves above saying, "I'm sorry." For the worst thing that you can have in the church is dissension among the brethren. If you're a Christian who is struggling with forgiving someone, I want you to make a note of these verses I'm about to give you and read them again several times when you go home. They are Colossians 3, verse 12 and verse 13. It says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And so, my friends, today Jesus stands at your heart's door. He's knocking, and won't you open the door and let him in? Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him, and he with me." Maybe today you're burdened with a load of unforgiveness. The longer you carry the load, the heavier it gets. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to come to Jesus today. He offers forgiveness of all your sins and full salvation from spiritual death, hell, and everlasting torment. Just sincerely repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. My friend, there is no other way by which you can be saved but through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so, you can let hate and bitterness reign in your life and pull you down, or you can let love and forgiveness reign in your hearts and lift you up. Come out of your bondage into God's marvelous light. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder this morning that you're a God of love, a God of forgiveness. And we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And we thank you for your word that reminds us that we also have a duty to forgive one another. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice this morning who needs to let things go. Oh, precious Lord, give them the courage. Give them the courage and the wisdom to do that while they may. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today who has never received salvation by accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Have your own way in our Holy Spirit in such a heart and bring them to a place of repentance. We give you thanks and all praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation, number 244, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Today. You don't have to leave here without him. You came in without him. You can leave with brand new life, a brand new beginning, a fresh start. Every sin you've committed in your life washed away, never to be remembered. This is your opportunity. Your opportunity to repent. Repentance means a change of mind, changing from following this world, which can only lead you to disaster and destruction, turning to follow the way of the Lord, which leads to a more abundant life here on earth, an everlasting life in heaven, a life that leads to an experience you've never had before, one of joy. 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 Joy is a very special thing. You know, even when you're hurting, if you have joy, some of you know what I'm talking about. Joy isn't happiness. Happiness is based upon what's happening. Joy is always there, and you can only get that from a relationship with the Lord. Comes from peace with God. And so this morning I invite you, as we sing another verse of this hymn, to give it all to Jesus. He came so that we can have life. Came so that we can have forgiveness. He took upon himself all our sins to Calvary's cross and died and paid the price for us. What's your hesitation? What is it that will prevent you from accepting this free gift? And so I encourage you right now to step out from your seat as we sing. Walk down this aisle, not to please me, but say, Lord, I surrender my all to you. You come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and save me. I promise you, it will be the best decision that you ever made. Let's sing. Rich of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.